Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
With that, we bring in, he knows how much I admire his work, all the fans understand that just over the years. And we survived Sam Licklider together. So it's to the great Hall of Famer, Tim Brando, Hall of Famer in these eyes. How are you, my friend? Happy New Year.
I'm great, Steve. It's good to be with you, man. Yeah, if you last long enough, you become Hall of Famers in different places. You know, you just have to last long enough. So it's truly like celebrity Hall of Fame is truly in the eyes of the beholder. I got in it into my own home state, and you know, if you last long enough, you start getting little pieces of regions of the country start falling in line. You know, I think it all depends on how long the ticker is good. You know, so I'm happy to be alive and happy to still be calling games of consequence.
You got that right. And by the way, in the eyes of this peer, you're a Hall of Famer. So we'll go with
Thank you, pal. Appreciate
all
that.
All right. Yeah. Anytime. You watched the game on Monday night. What did you think?
Well, I thought the first half was a snooze fest, and that
yes.
You know, it was going to be like a lot of other SEC rematches and championship games. And you know, we've had this happen before. I could even go back to the '96 rematch between Florida State and Florida at the Sugar Bowl, which was a 52-20 blowout, and Spurrier got his title against Bobby Bowden in a rematch. They're just generally not good for the college game. Doesn't mean the game can be awful, but the LSU-Alabama rematch was so awful it nuked the BCS and gave us the CFP. And I thought the first half was so bad last night that it might get us the expansion sooner than later, but but the reality is the second half, the game picked up. Both teams played better. Georgia's storyline was just off the charts, and what that kid did, what Stetson Bennett did, I put out a little on Brando today from my study about an hour ago before I came on with you, and I stated in that that this is why college football is still the best for all of its foibles, for all of the issues that you know, I'm as guilty as anyone of pointing out on a regular basis the issues that we have with the sport, things that need to be taken care of to make it better. College football is still the best, and what that kid did, what Stetson Bennett the fourth accomplished, is something that only college football could do. Okay, all those great games we saw on Sunday and Saturday in the NFL in Week 18, as great as all of them were, and they were in many cases off the charts good, you can't have a story like that in the NFL where, you know, a preferred walk-on who had to play junior college ball at Jones College in Mississippi can do what he did for the school he dreamed of playing for. I mean, that is the definition of realizing your dream in a way that it can't be done at any other level but college football. So, you know, and I would compare the Kurt Warner story, now a motion picture, okay?
Yeah.
The movie on Kurt Warner, and it's a great rags-to-riches story. It's still not as pure as this. It's not. It's not. That young man will never play a down in the NFL, but he'll also never have a drink that he has to buy or a meal he'll have to purchase in the state of Georgia for the rest of his life. That does not happen at the pro level. So, with all the things that are swirling around the sport that are negative, whether it's the transfer portal, NIL, realignment, expansion, this was exactly what college football needed to close out the year, and that's even with an all-SEC final, which is unfortunate for the sport. It doesn't help. I think the rating will probably be 10, 15, 20% lower than it was a year ago for the Ohio State-Alabama game, just because of the regionality of it, but to that kid's credit and to both teams, really, they delivered, you know, in a way that they really had to for the college game. We should celebrate it. You know, I spent a lot of time talking about what's wrong with college football, and I think what I'm doing is from the prism of love. I think people that know me well, such as yourself, you know where I'm coming from.
Yep.
Not all fans do, particularly those on social media. And you know, I don't want to be the old curmudgeon that's always pissed off. I want to be the guy also that says, let's celebrate this kid, let's celebrate the game. And I got a lot of friends at Georgia, you know, lifelong friends. Vince Dooley, his first year out of coaching, worked with me on ESPN in 1989. We did the Penn State Holiday Bowl win, as you recall, against BYU. Mm-hmm. When Gary Brown stole the ball from Todd Detmea, as he said.
Todd Detmea.
We you know, their longtime SID, Claude Felton's a dear friend. Buck Ballou, Herschel Walker, who I called games for in the USFL. Barbara and Vince, you know, and Tony Barnhart, who worked with me for 10 of the 18 years I was at CBS. You know, those are all dogs, and I'm happy for them today.
Yeah, no question. And it's interesting because a year ago, Georgia played a game at Arkansas, and Newman had transferred in from Wake Forest. They had the Mathis, who's a five-star kid. Daniels had transferred in from USC, and then all of a sudden guys started getting hurt, and he played pretty well. It's amazing that this walk-on, who had to go JC and then come back, through attrition, is the guy. And you're right. That's what makes this a great story.
Yeah. I don't doubt that there'll be a movie made about it. I really don't. You know, I mean, the it's just too good. It's just too great of a story. And who knows what the young man may become.
Right.
You know, I saw a picture of Coach Dooley, Vince, on the sidelines, standing next to Billy Payne, who is the former Masters chairman and head of the Atlanta Olympic Committee when the games were held in 1996 in Atlanta. He played tight end for Vince in 1966 and 67. And to see Vince there, about to turn 90 years old, get to see that with his own eyes. You know, I'm texting Barbara. Barbara had come into contact, apparently, with somebody that had COVID, so she didn't make the trip. Her daughter, Deanna, Vincent, and Barbara's daughter, Deanna, was with him, and his son, Daniel. They were up in the athletic director's box, and their AD now, Josh Brooks, is an old ULM guy. He was the associate athletic director at my alma mater before he went back to Georgia. He had Georgia roots and went back there to become AD. So, you know, I'm dialing all these people up, and they're all getting back to me. You know, you know, it's midnight. Yeah, man, it's great, you know. Barbara was like the first, and I knew when she got in touch with me that she must not be with Vince, and she was back home because of, you know, contact tracing. She didn't want to be, you know, a problem. So they're just all ecstatic, you know. It's like, and if you've been a, you know, someone that's from that family, and you've been so close, Georgia's been so close since 2017, really, and Alabama's been the team that's done them in. This was sort of a rite of passage for the old timers, you know, that thought it might not ever happen again.
You and I talk enough, either in a format like this or privately when we're in the box, and the two of us care deeply about the game. All right. And that's where you always come from, because you care about the game.
Right.
So now we're at a point with, you know, college basketball seems to pull off an early signing date with ease. They come up with a tournament and an NIT, which is like minor bowl games, and they do it seamlessly, or at least so it seems. Why can't college football do things as seamlessly as that?
Yeah, this is going to sound like a slap at college basketball, and I don't mean for it to, Steve. But the reason for it, and I think we have to address this, and I do so with, again, from a prism of care and concern and as much affinity for basketball as I have for football. In the 80s and 90s, all right, even the Sam Licklider period of Penn State basketball.
Yes.
College basketball was bigger then than it is now.
Yep.
Okay. And a lot of people point to to the tournament's overall success as the overreaching problem with college basketball's lack of interest during the regular season. I don't buy that. I really don't. And I'm sure you don't either, because you're at the games there in Happy Valley, and you see how many people care on a regular basis about Big Ten basketball when schools come in there, you know, and when Penn State, who's almost always an underdog, is still capable of knocking off a top 15 Big Ten team. You see it all the time.
Yep.
But there is truth to the fact that college basketball does not rate as well in the regular season and hasn't for a long, long time. And I think, again, it's not the fault of the sport or the game as much as it is a byproduct of the NCAA tournament becoming so big. Okay. I know friends of mine in the business that will say that the greatest time in sports in this country is when the Masters, we're on the eve of the Masters, the Final Four is being played, the NCAA tournament's been going on for 3 weeks, and pitchers and catchers have reported, and we're about to have the first pitch. A lot of people feel that way about sports in our country. Mm-hmm. That, and the tournament being where it is has a lot to do with that. It just captivates everyone. And having done the NCAAs for 18 years and been part of it, I know where they're coming from. I do. But basketball's regular season, for whatever reason, has been viewed in such a manner that, you know, ESPN and Fox both are carrying tons of college basketball games. I mean, you can turn on your cable every night on FS1 and on ESPN or their family of networks, and then, you know, turn over to Big Ten Network and the ACC Network and the SEC. What do you see? You see college basketball. But you don't hear anybody talking about it the next day at the water cooler or even on TV on the very networks that are carrying the games. They're not talking about college basketball. They're talking about the NBA or they're talking about the NFL. They're not talking about college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
College football is so big, has gotten so big in recent years, that and the regular season is such a success, okay, in this of the sport, that making any change with college football is just, it's just so hard to do, so hard to accomplish. There are so many favors historically that have to be paid. The whole we've got to protect the bowl syndrome that's still out there among the leaders of college football is, in my opinion, outdated and stale. But mm-hmm. it still exists, okay?
Yeah.
We got to watch the stinking playoffs on New Year's Eve because the Rose Bowl has to have the sun setting over the San Gabriels at the same stinking time every January 1st. Yeah. Okay? That is not in the best interest of the sport. I don't care what Big Ten people think about the Rose Bowl. That's just not good. It's not good for the sport that, you know, most of the 18 to 49-year-olds are out partying on New Year's Eve, and the ratings are lower than they've been, you know, in a long, long time for the semifinals. But that's what happens, and it's because of this outdated view of college football, and the people that govern it have not sped up. They've not kept up with the times. And I think that in basketball, yeah, you could put together CBI, put together this, NIT that. We're good to go. Nobody says anything. And, of course, if they win the championship of any one of those tournaments, they get a big trophy, everybody comes home, people meet the team at the airport, and it's all great, right?
Yeah.
That's what happens. We all really need to put pressure on the leaders of the conferences now. And I know we got three new ones, okay? Yeah. And I think these new ones are having issues with trust with the old ones. And I don't know if you happen to see it, but the interviews that were given by Bowlesby and Sankey in the aftermath of yesterday's meetings they had in Indianapolis about expansion were just as frustrating and as negative as any I think I've ever seen or heard.
Agreed.
It's clear we're kicking the can down the road for another, you know, 3 to 4 years until these television contracts are up, before we see any change in the college football playoff format. I mean, that's the deal. There's just a level of distrust, and the best way of putting it would be the relationships are fractured. All right, they may be telling us that they get along well and they're collegial, but when they get away from one another, they loathe the opposition's views. And anybody that covers the sport on a regular basis understands that. It's really sad.
Yeah, the big difference between them and us is that you and I actually do get along well. So,
yeah, you know, and it's I don't get it. I just don't.
I don't either.
I don't understand why certain items have to be sticking points to the extent that they have to be sticking points. But Steve, I think what the bottom line issue to all this is, and you know what, to some extent, Greg Sankey and Bob Bowlsby are on the same side here. They both want a 12-team playoff. And
right.
And you know what? So did Jack Swarbrick. And so did Craig Thompson. And by the way, they were asked to be the four guys. They were asked to be the quartet to go out and do the homework, the research, to find out what a 12-team playoff would be worth and how marketable it would be when they put it out for bidding in the next 4 years. But there was this thought back in the spring, or back in June, I think it was, May or June, that they could possibly implement it as soon as next year.
Right.
You know, but greed got in the way. The moment Greg Sankey procured Texas and Oklahoma right out from underneath Bob Bowlsby, who was on the same committee to bring Texas and OU in, it was stop the presses. You know, stop the presses. And I think that that maneuver by Sankey put the brakes on all this. I don't think any of the other commissioners want to say it. It's kind of like the elephant in the room.
Yeah,
but. I think all this stuff about, well, it must be an automatic qualifier in the Big Ten, or we must have eight in the ACC. I think that's all smoke screens for the fact that they don't want to do business with each other until they have to, and they don't have to until the TV deals are up. You know what I mean? That's what I think.
You're well said. Tim, always, always a pleasure. You know that. Thank you, my friend. I hope we get to talk again soon.
Yeah, I hope I get in there to Happy Valley for a hoops game, and if not, then certainly for football. I missed getting in there this year, and I hope to get back real soon. Thought I had a chance for that Michigan State game the week we wound up getting Minnesota Wisconsin, which turned out to be a great game and for the Western Division title. But you know how much I want to get back to Penn State. Okay,
better believe it, my friend. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
All right, Steve. Take care.